morning pile, 7 o'clock. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It is Wednesday. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Tal and Wine. You got something you need to get off your chest, perfect day to do it. And you could get a bottle of Tal and Wine. Plus, we'll have Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia coming up. That's later on this morning. Busy show. Catherine and Kirby Puckett Jr. Yes, sister and brother of the late great Hall of Famer Kirby Puckett will join us in the program because they have changed the name of the most valuable player, outstanding player at the Junior College World Series to be named the Kirby Puckett most outstanding player. And
it's a good change.
Great trophy. Kenny Johnson's played a really big role in making this happen. And Matt Bennett is a former CMU student that made the trophy. And so we're going to talk with Catherine Puckett, Kirby Puckett Jr., about the honor that's been bestowed upon their dad of having the trophy, the most outstanding player named after the legendary Minnesota Twin, who sadly got glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
He also took a pitch to the face and then had to retire from baseball, got glaucoma, and then died from a stroke when he was just 45 years old. I remember when Kirby Puckett passed away. I was like, what? How?
That's shocking.
How? It was absolutely so, pardon the expression, out of left field.
Yeah.
When Kirby Puckett died. That was just startling. And because he was so young. But we're going to talk with his children today. And I think Catherine was like 16 and Kirby Jr. was 14 when he died. But I remember watching him play in the Junior College World Series for Bob Simmons, Triton, Illinois, when Lance Johnson was also here. He was going to play in the big leagues with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby went on to win two World Series with the Twins. And to me,
he's the author, if you will, of one of the greatest home run calls ever. Like, he's the guy that hit the home run. We'll see you tomorrow night.
And that's the trophy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that picture of him around the bases. That's
the fist in the air.
That is the trophy that the most outstanding player will get this year for the Junior College World Series. So we'll talk with Catherine Puckett, Kirby Puckett Jr. coming up at about 8:20 this morning. Jamie Hamilton will also join us as well to talk about preparations for the tournament. So looking forward to what should be, hopefully, a really good conversation with the children, the adult children of the late, great Kirby Puckett. So make sure you join us for that at 8:20 this morning.
I know it's kind of off topic a little, but it's in the same vein.
Sure.
When the feeling of hearing that Kirby Puckett passed, kind of the same as when you hear Tony Gwynn pass.
Yeah.
Like, dang. It didn't really feel real.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like it. Yeah.
Like, this really is not how this was supposed to go.
Yeah, it's still just, yeah, it's one of those things. It's like when so many famous people pass away, you're just going, just didn't, like when Tom Petty died.
Yeah. You're like, for wait, me, it's like they're not immortal?
And you're right. So much, Pete Maravich died. It was just, Pete Maravich can't be dead. And the same with Kirby when he passed away. And I think it was cool that Kirby Puckett got enshrined in the NJCA Foundation Hall of Fame. And that happened last year posthumously for Kirby Puckett. You know, one time, and still technically holds a batting record at JUCO, the batting average record. Or tied for really tied.
I thought he got surpassed a while, but I'm.
It was crazy. We've gone through that whole thing where he did,
and nobody knew for like 3 years.
And I don't think it's ever officially been changed. The last time I looked,
it still says 688. Kirby's one of the four tied, but I thought he got passed.
He did, and I can't remember.
I can't remember who it was. But
that did it, but. We went back and looked like, yeah, he did. He had enough at-bats to qualify.
Yeah, and they just haven't changed it.
So which anyway,
is fine if you want to keep Kirby. I don't care.
I'm good with that too. The biggest name until Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And still, no offense to Bryce, still the biggest name. Bryce has not made his way to the Hall of Fame just yet.
No.
I just think that
Bryce still doesn't have the professional jewelry that Kirby Puckett ended up with.
No, it's true. Because he's not won a World Series yet, has he?
No, he hasn't. He was in Philadelphia when the Nationals won.
Yeah. So he has yet to attain what Kirby did twice with Minnesota and winning a couple of World Series. All right, so text or call us, 970-242-1340. We did get a winner yesterday. I do want to some housekeeping here.
Yeah.
From yesterday with Herd Trivia, because we had Mesa baseball players drafted by the Colorado Rockies. And we did have a winner yesterday on that, correct?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Do you have the name in front of you, or do I even... Should I just give an answer?
It's Blake.
It's Blake, okay. So Blake got it correct.
Yep.
And he sent in Cannon Handy, but there were also, five other guys that also were drafted by the Rockies. And just to give you an idea who those guys were, if I can get my computer to work properly here, the other players that got drafted by the Rockies, of course, Cannon Handy, Reagan Todd, Jeff Popick. We mentioned Jason Martinez, who was at Central High School,
yep.
Went to Arizona, came back here. Jim Lejeune and Mario Munoz was the first Maverick player drafted by the Colorado Rockies. So, anyway, congratulations to Blake on that. And we'll have later on Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia chance to win today. But Avalanche with a huge, huge comeback win last night. Down 3-0, no problem. And I love what Nathan MacKinnon said afterward. You know, we didn't feel like we should be down 3-0. It didn't feel like that. We didn't feel like we'd played that badly. And he's like, we're just going to play and see what happens.
Yeah.
They score four unanswered goals. They go on to win it in overtime, 4-3 last night. Miles Wood, who's had a very impressive playoff run, and Valeri Nichushkin with two power play goals last night for the choo-choo train.
And they hadn't played that bad. The Dallas goals, and you'll hear Jared Bednar talk about it, but it was like messy off a face-off and a couple of deflections of which Georgie was just kind of hung out to dry, including one on a 5-on-3. Like, they put themselves in bad spots. It wasn't that Dallas was outplaying them. The Avs just shot themselves in the foot three consecutive times in the first period.
And so they're kind of like, well, crap, we got to get this cleaned up.
Right.
Because they know they're capable of doing what they did last night because they've done it before.
Yeah. It was just one of those, all right, it's time to, you know, get the poop in the group, so to speak.
Exactly. It's the third time in three games this season they've rallied from multi-goal deficits to win. That's some firepower.
Yeah, it is.
And that's some confidence, too. They go, okay, we gave them three goals. Enough messing around here.
Yeah, enough screwing around, boys.
Let's get after it. Pitter-patter, let's get at her. And they did that last night. The two power play goals from Nichushkin. You also had MacKinnon tied it up at 3-3 in the third period, his first shift of the third period. Cale Makar tied the Avs franchise streak for consecutive games to the point to start a playoff series. He got six. And Nichushkin is tied now for third in NHL history at the most goals. He has eight. Oh, the first six games of a postseason, he shares that with 11 other players. The second slot is nine to start the playoffs. Mark Messier, Steve Payne are your guys that are second. And so, just Nichushkin's been incredible. Their power play has been phenomenal.
And in the second and third and into overtime, like, the shots or the Stars rather, had 9 shots in the first 16 minutes of the game. And the Avs start to kind of ramp that down. You know, just kind of make sure that there wasn't a ton of opportunities. They had 13 shots over the second, third, and overtime periods. They had 9 in the first 15 minutes, and they ended up with only 13 more the rest of the game. You chop that up, and you're looking at, like, what, a shot every 2.5 minutes or something like that? What do we talk about after the first game with Winnipeg? Like, the defense in front. Georgie did not play well. The defense in front of him hung him out to dry a couple times as well, and there was a little bit of that in the first period. Like, Dallas got a couple lucky breaks. Avs got a couple lucky breaks later, but they started to ramp down on the open space for the Stars forwards, and that's what kind of allowed Georgie to stay in the game a little bit and rebound, and then allowed them to start chipping away.
But it's just that confidence that they have. There is just that the way that this postseason's gone, where that confidence wasn't there at the end of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But the way, and you go back to that first game against Winnipeg, where Georgie plays like hot garbage. They don't play well in front of him, but they still score 6 goals. And they're going, damn. Because they show that this season that they're capable of doing that, overcoming multi-goal deficits and getting it done on the road. But it just, once again, shows up and down the lineup, like, for example, Miles Wood. Miles Wood with a big-time clutch goal in overtime. And Miles Wood has scored some big goals in this postseason already. And it's just remarkable where if the Avalanche, maybe this is a case where, as Connor McGahee, which I don't know if we're going to have Connor on today or not, might be tomorrow for Connor, where he quoted Joe Sakic, rest is a weapon. Dallas had to go 7 games with Vegas. And then they played Sunday, game 7. Tuesday night, boom, they're on the ice against the Avalanche, who had several days off after finishing off Winnipeg,
mm-hmm.
where if that's Colorado playing the 7-game series and they fall in that 3-0 hole, who knows if they've got the gas to come back. And for Dallas, kind of surprising that they had the gas in the tank after a 7-game series to grab a 3-0 lead. But the Avalanche, because of the rest, they're like, okay, we're fine here. We're down 3-0.
Well, and
we got time. We haven't played our best hockey here.
And they were getting chances too.
A couple off the post. I know, I think McKinnon had one off the post. Mm-hmm. Like in the
early
second
on,
period.
They were getting chances. They went off the post. They went wide a couple times, but they were getting free. You could see Dallas kind of had some tired legs early when it was still scoreless, and then they score, and they score, and they score a third time, and then it's like, all right, you have to survive the barrage, but you still have 2 periods left.
And one of the key moments was when Josh Manson knocked the puck away. It was when they were up 3-0. Could have been easily 4-0.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And it was just seconds left in the first period power play. 4-goal deficit's tough. Mm-hmm. Early on to overcome.
Because Georgie's laying on his stomach, and you can only do so much from that position because you're kind of out of position. And I don't remember who it was for the Stars, but he's just kind of like leaking from left to right in front of Georgie and just holding. And then Josh Manson is the one that essentially saves that goal. He just kind of whacks it out of there. And 4-0, I don't think they win that game.
No. So Manson's play was huge.
Huge.
And here's the thing, where we talk about rest as a weapon, but rest also can be rust. They hadn't played in 7 days.
Yeah.
And where the Panthers the other night in their game, they'd had some rest, and it it was to their disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
For the Avalanche, initially it was rust that turned to rest. That turned to rest in an energized Avalanche team the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I part of the reason I didn't think it would turn to rust for the Avalanche is because, like, they were scoring against Winnipeg, but it was 4 or 5, and it was hard work goals. It wasn't like they were out there flying and Georgie was hot and had like 3 straight shutouts, and like Georgie was playing well, but I don't think it was a cooling down thing. I think it was a fundamentals thing. The reason the entire team was playing well. And so I wasn't really worried that they were going to cool down until they went down 3-0. I'm like, ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, I may go to bed here. And then wake up and it's like, oh, it's tied. This is great. And then watch overtime on my phone in the bedroom.
And part of the strategy was putting Chris Tanev on MacKinnon last night. But MacKinnon still got the game-tying goal last night,
mm-hmm.
even with what they tried to do. And speaking of Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, the 3 finalists for the Hart Trophy for the most valuable player to his team.
Not surprised.
So not a surprise at all. All right, 7:16, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Thoughts about last night. Also, we'll get into it and what's happening. We'll discuss more later. Jamal Murray doesn't get suspended. We got fined $100,000 after throwing a towel in the heat compress in the direction of Mark Davis, the referee, in game 2. Got very, very lucky. He should be
suspended, to be honest.
Should have been suspended. Troy Rink has a really good piece in the Denver Post about it today. Love the blue arrow. Should have been suspended.
Yep.
And then he also did the money gesture at Mark Davis, too. Well, he did that before. He did the other things, mm-hmm. which got Rudy Gobert fined $100,000. And so he got off on that one. He got lucky that they didn't, for basically taunting the official.
Yeah.
So they got a break there. Where you have the Avalanche right now have a very resilient mindset. Down 3 goals, no biggie. We'll get our crap together, as you like to say, poop in a group.
Yep.
And we'll be fine. Nuggets right now, you don't feel that way at all.
No.
It feels like this could be over. And I hate to be negative, hate to be Debbie Downer here, but it does feel that way. Because they got physically manhandled by Minnesota. Murray's not healthy.
They're mentally manhandled right now, too. At least some of them.
Yeah. Jamal Murray certainly is. So Nuggets, they catch a big break by Murray not getting suspended, because he probably should have been suspended, to be quite honest. All right, 7:18, and it's time for
What's Happening?
And it's brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal. Helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently so you can focus on the thing that matters the most to you, and that's growing your business. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system, surveillance network support, cybersecurity and backup and disaster recovery. Give ComWest a call today because they service the entire Western Slope. 970-242-8142 or go to comwestcorp.com. You want to give me a little music? I already played some, but
let me
hear it enough.
Cue it up real quick.
Okay. Needle on the record. There we go. Thank you. The Avalanche roared back from a 3-0 deficit to beat the Stars 4-3 in overtime in Dallas Tuesday to open the semifinals of the Western Conference playoffs. Miles Wood scored the game winner in overtime to grab a 1-0 lead in the series. Valeri Nichushkin scored 2 power play goals, and Nathan MacKinnon tied it up with his third period goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was 3 quick ones. We felt like it wasn't a 3-0 game. We had a lot of good shifts, I thought. And, we stayed positive, really upbeat after the first, you know, no negativity. And, you know, we didn't know if we could come back or not. We just wanted to see and give ourselves a chance, and we did. And
that is Nathan MacKinnon. Game 2 of the series is tomorrow night in Dallas. You can hear it on the Team Sports Network with pregame at 7 o'clock. Nuggets guard Jamal Murray is fined $100,000 after throwing a towel and a heat compress in the direction of referee Mark Davis during Denver's Game 2 loss to Minnesota. Timberwolves coach Chris Finch called Murray's actions inexcusable and dangerous. He became agitated at Davis over a lack of foul calls. He could have been suspended. Denver trails the series 2-0 with Game 3 Friday night in Minnesota. Pre-game starts Friday at 7 on the Team Sports Network. San Francisco pitcher Kyle Harrison shut out the Rockies for 7 innings as Carpenter loses to the Giants 5-0 Tuesday at Coors Field. It's the 6th time this season the Rockies have been shut out as they dropped 8-27. Carpenter faces the Giants tonight on the team.
I have no idea who that is.
Carpenter faces the Giants tonight on the Team Sports Network. Following Carpenter Mesa Baseball, because for the 12th straight time, the RMAC Baseball Tournament will be hosted by CMU and played here in Grand Junction. The Mavs open the tournament today against CSU Pueblo, a team they split with back at the start of April. Mavs skipper Chris Hank says the Thunderbolts make for a tough draw to open up the tournament.
They're certainly not a six seed for an opening game of a 16 tournament. We got a tough draw. Say we'd have to close them out, knock them out, shut things down. We really feel like we probably should have won 3 or 4 in that series, but we didn't.
Mavs Thunderwolves play at 3:00 today. Coverage starts at 2:45 on the Team Sports Network with Rio and Vern McGee out at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. The Fruto Monument girls lacrosse team is moving on to the next round of the 4A playoffs after defeating St. Mary's Academy 17-4 at Community Hospital Unity Field. The Wildcats' Olivia O'Hara scored 6 goals to lead the Wildcats to the win. Alia Danner added a hat trick for Fruit as they move on to play at 4-seeded Heritage this Friday at 6:00. Grand Junction girls host Denver South tonight at 5 at Community Hospital Unity Field. The Grand Junction boys lacrosse team saw their season end in a 10-7 loss at Aspen in the 4A playoffs. Tigers freshman Paxton Weber scored 3 goals and had 2 assists in the loss. Grand Junction ends the year with an 8-8 record. The Montrose Redhawks were able to take down the Palisade Bulldogs 6-5 in 8 innings yesterday in Montrose in baseball. Cooper Ross had the walk-off RBI base hit that sent Brecken Hutto home that let the Redhawks take down the 4A ranks third-ranked ball club. Montrose improves to 12-9. Palisade drops to 17-5-1. Redhawks will wrap up the regular season Thursday against Delta. That's at 5:00, and we should mention you'll be able to hear that game by going to our website and clicking on the Highway 50 Game of the Week link, and you can hear Mark Cantor with the call of that game this Thursday as Delta takes on Montrose. Palisades regular season comes to an end. They were 3rd in the Chassa seating index heading into the game, and see who they play in the regional tournament, of course, coming up next week. The Southwestern League champion Fruto Monument baseball team beat Cross Valley rival Grand Junction 8-1 Tuesday at Canview Park. Wildcats pitcher Lucas Weaver tossed a no-hitter and struck out 14 Tigers in the win. Grand Junction scored their lone run when Titus Forsyth reached on an error and then scored in a 3-base wild pitch. Fruta's Gavin Cardoza drove in 2 runs with his base hit as the Wildcats moved to 15-4, 7-0 in league. The Tigers slipped to 13-8. They're 4-3 overall as the two play again on Friday. And that's a look at
what's happening.
All right, brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business, call ComWest today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More on the Avs win over Dallas last night. Your thoughts on that? Should Jamal Murray have been suspended? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's
yes.
easy answer right there.
I just yes, he should have been suspended for what he did. And we don't dislike Jamal Murray.
No.
But you can't do that. Just because you like somebody, when they do something bad, doesn't mean that that's okay. Just because you like them. They play for your team.
I see way too many Nuggets fans with the, well, no one got hurt.
Well, that doesn't matter. Somebody could have got hurt,
yeah.
Though.
Like, I mean, it didn't hit anybody. Okay. It's disappointing, to say the least.
Absolutely it is. All right. So coming up, we'll also have Alyssa Husky, Fruto Monument Girls lacrosse coach, going to join us, talk about their win over St. Mary's Academy yesterday. That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's the Western Slopes home of Colorado sports.
Come on!
This is the Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back, 727. Little pistols today? Wow.
Yep.
Very interesting band.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
Not always in a good way.
No, not always in a good way. All right, 7:28. Avalanche getting the win. They rally from a 3-goal deficit to beat the Stars in Dallas last night. 4-3 in overtime. Bringing some sound from last night. Jared Bednar on what went wrong early and then what went right as they go on to get the victory.
We were disorganized on the D zone arrival on the first goal. We were running around all over the place. The points open, no one's going, and multiple guys are going. There was guys open all over the place. They executed through it and then shot it through the screen. So that's on us. Quick faceoff play hits our guy. I think Gorgie's probably making that save. I didn't love the shooting lane we had there. But then it hits it hit Kale's stick and changes direction, goes over him. There's no real chance. They make a play, they got to bounce, they won the draw. You know, it was well executed on their part, and they get a bounce off. And we got, you know, some bounces too. You know, like, we had some good opportunities. We hit a few posts. I felt like the game started to come for us a little late in the first, and then second period we kind of started doing a little bit more of what we would like to see and simplifying our game a little bit, and they were more competitive in the first period, and our lack of discipline didn't help, right? So you're killing penalties the whole time. You got a 5-on-3 after they already take the lead. It's kind of putting you on your heels. But we rebounded nicely in the second period and started to get ready to go.
All right, so that's Jared Bednar. And so for the Avalanche, you know, since they dropped the opener to Winnipeg, they've won 5 straight. And they've also played 2 really good defensive teams.
Yeah.
Winnipeg came in with Connor Hellebuyck, best defense in the NHL. And the Avalanche said, really?
Everyone laugh at the funny joke. Ha ha!
And then for the Avalanche, look, sample size is small. It's just one game. But their scoring chances, you know, they took advantage of the multitude of scoring chances they did have last night. Though they had some off the post, they were part of that as well. But
That first Makar shot goes in, that's a completely different game.
Yeah.
But also, like, Mikko Rantanen can't go to the penalty box twice in 4 minutes. You know what I mean? Not for 4 minutes, but in the span of 4 minutes, right. You can't take 2 penalties. I know they only scored on 1, but that was the 5-on-3. It just, you got to be, as this goes along, you have to be more disciplined.
And there was questions about the Stars and what they would do in terms of they played 5 defensemen for the final 5 games of the series against Vegas. They played Nils Lundqvist about 2:21 in game 3, 1:09 in game 4, a lot, almost 3 minutes in game 5, almost 5 minutes in game 6, and then 3:09 in game 7. And he played 4:07 in game 1. So, appears that for Dallas, they're going to go with 5 defensemen, at least for the first couple of games in this series, in an effort to try to find a way to slow down Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, that's certainly been part of the plan, and it is for most teams' plans. But for the Avalanche, it's what they've been able to do against 2 of the better defensive teams in the league. Where it's not just, it's not like they go out and win a 2-1 game. Times they've not helped themselves. They have not been, this is defensively not the team that won the cup, the way the Avalanche have been playing.
Right.
It's not that team. But they have moments like the Josh Manson play last night to keep it from going to being a 4-0 deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Where they make a play here or 2 defensively that keeps the game within striking distance for them.
Yeah, they're not as good as the Cup team. They're not as good as the 2 teams they've played in the playoffs so far defensively when it comes to the regular season, but they just get that one, like you mentioned, 1 or 2 plays here or there that are not, you know, 60 minutes of just trying to lock you down and do anything, but you know, they take the approach of you can't score if we don't let the shots get through. It sounds stupid simple, but sometimes it's easier said than done. We saw that in game one against Winnipeg, but I referenced it last segment, is that 16, they had 9 shots in 17 minutes. They finished the game with 22 total in 3.5 periods of hockey, essentially. So you take that, you got 55 minutes with 13 shots. That's a shot every 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very difficult to score when you're getting that few shots through. But the Avalanche aren't a stellar defensive team. They just figure out a way to not let you get shots off.
I mean, I mentioned the playing the 5 defensemen the way they did in the Vegas series. That worked in the Vegas series.
Mm-hmm.
But will it work in this series? Because Colorado has the faster forecheck, and that forecheck kind of ground the Jets down in the first round.
Yeah.
And so will that work for DeBoer in this series? Last night's any indication? Probably not.
And I think it was Heiskanen that was on the ice for the Miles Wood. Like, you don't think of Miles Wood as a top 5 option for, maybe not even a top 8 scoring option for the Avalanche. And he skated around Heiskanen or whoever it was. Yeah. Like, he was standing still.
Yeah.
In halfway through overtime. That plays, I think, into the fatigue you were talking about with them having to go 7. But also, like, the Avs are ridiculously fast on the ice. And I don't know if playing 5 defensemen, only 3 of whom, maybe 2, can keep up with the Avs at any given moment is going to help them out.
And for
why I liked the matchup with the Stars.
Yeah, and for Wood, he's incredibly fast. You don't think of that, but he is. He's incredibly fast. And you saw that. It was Heiskanen, by the way. He was their best D guy.
And he looked like it.
And he made him look silly.
Like, he not only skated past him, he was able to loop in front of the goaltender unimpeded. And Heiskanen was at the center line before Miles Wood was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts how fast Miles Wood, how much faster he looked than Heiskanen.
Yeah. So game 2 coming up tomorrow night, pregame at 7 right here on the team. I'm going to give you some information you need today, because the RMAC baseball tournament, their games are moved back an hour. So the first game will start at noon today.
Okay.
And then they're thinking that the CSU Pueblo Mesa game will start around 3:30 or 4 today.
Why? They
had 3 teams that got in after midnight because Vail Pass is closed. So trying to give them extra time.
So? I'm just kidding. That's
the reason why.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at, I know you're looking at the windows like, well, why? That's the reason why.
It looks great out there. It's a little chilly, but.
It's a beautiful day. That's the reason why.
Okay.
All right, 7:36, and it's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, we may not get Connor McGahey on for the scheduled interview this morning, because you never know what happens late night, overtime, on the road, different time zone. You never really know. But we still have a little taste of Connor McGahey from last night.
Finally, he clears Miles Wood in space. He's got some speed. Wood towards the net. He scores! Reach for the sky! The comeback is complete! Miles Wood said, run like the wind, bullseye, and he did! He blazed past Miro Heiskanen, and he tucked past the post of Ottinger, and he tucks the Stars in to say good night. And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, because this party is over.
I love road winners too. I love, you can hear the Avs and no one else.
That's how you hear them going crazy.
There's like six guys. Yeah!
Ah! And everybody's dead silence.
Yeah. Children are crying. It's great.
All right, 7:38. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Fruto Monument girls lacrosse coach Alyssa Husky after their win over St. Mary's Academy yesterday. That's up next. It's a Wine About a Wednesday from Talon Wine. If you have something you want to complain about, also a reaction to Jamal Murray not getting suspended for throwing stuff on the floor. Should he have been suspended? Has to pay a $100,000 fine for throwing the heat compress and the towel on the floor during game two. So text or call us today on the team line, 970-242-1340.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking through the Monument Wildcat Sports on The Jim Davis Show.
And Fruto Monument girls lacrosse coach Alyssa Husky brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance for a free comparison. Call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Wildcat girls coming off a 17-4 win over St. Mary's Academy to open up the 4A playoffs yesterday at Community Hospital Unity Field. Alyssa Husky joins us. Alyssa, first off, congratulations on the playoff victory for your team yesterday.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. It was an awesome win.
No doubt that Olivia O'Hara had an incredible game yesterday. Six goals for you in that game. McKenna Jensen, of course, had a couple of goals, and she's been outstanding for you this year. But let's talk more about Olivia O'Hara and what she did yesterday with the six goals and got to a lot of ground balls as well.
Yeah, Olivia was awesome in this game for us. You know, she came off of a head injury earlier in the season, missed a couple of games. In this game, she was really back to her usual self, had nine shots on goal with six goals, 12 ground balls, and she was also, which was off of the draw specifically, which is someplace that we've kind of struggled with this season. We were really able to capitalize on the draw possession with her there on the circle.
And so 17-4, I mean, defensively, let's talk about that performance, because that was something I know you told the Daily Sentinel about that, and I think maybe it was Olivia that actually made that reference to the defense. But defensively, well, your team played really, really well yesterday.
Yeah, I would say we played our best defensive game against Aspen last Saturday, and all the pieces kind of finally fell into place for our defense. We were communicating really well. Our slides were there. We were actually crashing, forcing the ball carrier out of the critical scoring area, which was huge for us. We were able to get some game film and watch what they like to do, and we really executed that game plan really well yesterday.
Alyssa Husky, coach of the Fruto Monument girls lacrosse team, joining us. They beat St. Mary's Academy yesterday over at on the CMU campus 17-4, and I'll have Heritage coming up on Friday. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Olivia with the behind-the-back, I guess we kind of no-look shot for the, what I guess was her last goal, the sixth goal. A little flash there from Olivia O'Hara on that last goal.
Yeah, it was a little flashy. We kind of asked her to put some flash in the game yesterday. It's always fun to do something like that. She's done it at practice a couple of times, so we wanted her to be able to execute that in a game-type situation, which was really cool.
I mentioned McKenna Jensen with a couple of goals. Aaliyah Danner had a hat trick as well, so McKenna's your leading goal scorer this year. She was still productive yesterday, but Aaliyah Danner also with a really good game to go along with what Olivia O'Hara did, actually, along with what Olivia did yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. Aaliyah had three goals. Ari Bishop had two goals. McKenna Jensen, two goals. Claire Duncan, two goals. And Gianna Diedrich had one goal. Kendall Ream had one goal. So we really shared the ball well, which just speaks to what our team has been trying to accomplish this season, is playing together, and I think that's ultimately what led us to be successful yesterday.
Alyssa Husky, the coach of the Fruto Monument girls lacrosse team with us. So last year you beat Steamboat Springs, then you faced Meade in the second round. You unfortunately lost to Meade, and I believe Olivia made the comment about last year that this team felt kind of intimidated going into that matchup with Meade, and unfortunately you lost that second round matchup. Different feeling, it seems like, at least the vibe I'm gathering this time around.
Yeah, for sure. You know, first playoff win in program history last year, so we're kind of green to the playoff experience. I think having that win against Steamboat last year in a close match kind of gave us a little apprehension to go play Meade. This year, you know, we had a great victory yesterday, and I think that helps know what we're capable of doing. We played our best game yesterday. All the pieces fell together. We played as one unit. Ari Bishop was excellent for us with the draw controls yesterday. So So I think if we play the game that we played yesterday, we can hold our ground against the Denver team. I think that's one thing the girls kind of get hung up on sometimes is that Denver has these bigger programs with a lot more funding and resources. And so I think that they're starting to realize that we also have the talent to compete with that level of competition.
Melissa Husky, coach of the Wildcat girls lacrosse team, with us on the Team Sports Network. So now it's four-seeded Heritage at their place coming up on Friday. Bella Gabini has 37 goals for them on the season. They've also had a really good year in terms of goal scoring from one of their freshmen, from Jillian Taylor. She's got 33 goals. I know it's you probably don't have a ton of information at this point, still working on some of those things, but what's your impression of this Heritage team?
This is a really good team that we're going to be playing on Thursday. I was just taking a look at their stats. Their goalkeeper is really impressive as well. So one thing we'll have to do is be sure that when we have the ball on the attack side, that we need to move the ball around quickly and be sure that we fake the goalie before we shoot. She's not going to let us have anything by her unless we work for it.
And so that's coming up on Thursday, 6 o'clock, as Fertile Monument travels to the Front Range to take on Heritage. Lissa, I know you're at work today. I appreciate your boss giving you some time to come on with us for a few minutes. Congratulations on the victory, and good luck against Heritage coming up on Thursday.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Jim. Go Wildcats.
All right. Thank you. Lissa Husky, coach of the Fertile Monument girls lacrosse team, joining us on the program this morning. Once again, that's this Thursday at 6 o'clock over on the Front Range. Great win for Fertile. Now let's see if they can get through the second round. Grand Junction girls, they play tonight. That's over at Community Hospital Andy Field as the Grand Junction Tiger girls. They will score off against Denver South 5 o'clock tonight over at Community Hospital Unity Field. So see if they can, of course, Mountain League champions. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they can do tonight in their playoff matchup. All right, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. Coming up next hour, we'll talk with Catherine Puckett and also Kirby Puckett Jr., the children of the late, great Kirby Puckett, because the JUCO trophy, the most outstanding player trophy, will be the Kirby Puckett most outstanding player. And so the trophy, I've had a chance to see a picture of it. You have as well. Kenny yeah. Johnson sent that to us.
Pretty cool.
Kirby with the iconic home run from the World Series. It's that pose with the fist pumping, which it's an incredible piece of artwork, not just a great trophy, but a great piece of artwork from Matt Bennett, who's a former CMU student who's made the trophy. So let's get the text line. Got a few coming in. From Scott, it's kind of ironic Jamal Murray couldn't make a basket or hit the ref with a leg warmer. LOL.
Yeah, he was terrible shooting on Monday night.
Couldn't even hit Mark Davis with either a towel or a heat compress. Let's see. My wine is wind. Who will play Nichushkin in the movie?
I got somebody. Ed Skrein.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep.
I know exactly what you're talking about. He's in
Deadpool.
He's in Deadpool, but he's also in Rebel Moon.
Yeah.
The Zack Snyder. Like his, I want to make it Star Wars, but
he was in Midway.
He was in a movie that we watched where he was like, he's in Britain because he's a British actor, and he was in a pop band like NSYNC or like a boy band.
Okay,
and the boy band breaks up. And it's him and the other guy. They're kind of like the leaders of the boy band. The one guy goes on to have this insanely, kind of like Justin Timberlake, incredible, successful solo career. And the Ed Skrein character does not. And he's still writing music. He's kind of blown through all the money that he made. And he meets this young man playing drums on like plastic buckets. And the young man happens to be autistic. And so, but he's an incredible drummer. He's a phenomenal drummer. And so he starts kind of working with him and he starts writing new music. And it's a heartstrings kind of film. It's a really good movie. I can't remember the title of it, but Ed Skrein is in that and he's really good. But yeah, I can see him playing Nichushkin. Really good.
He was also in Game of Thrones, apparently. I forgot he was the first Dario Nahar. Then he was replaced.
I'd forgot that too. So, wonder why they replaced him.
He says it was not up to him.
Okay.
So,
but I remember from Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool, though. That when I looked up Valachushkin and I saw the picture, I'm like, that looks like the dude from Deadpool. I'm like, Ed Skrein, there it is. He'd be probably my leader in the clubhouse. It's either him or Josh Pratt, because Josh Pratt's everything now. Chris Pratt, my bad, not Josh Pratt.
I was like, who's Josh Pratt?
I don't know. Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. He's the voice of Garfield now.
Yeah.
It's like, aren't there other actors out there available to do this stuff?
No, apparently
not. It's got to be Chris Pratt.
It's Chris Pratt.
And it's not like we don't hate Chris Pratt. I don't hate Chris Pratt.
No, he's going to be Batman, Superman, and Aquaman in the next Justice League movie.
He was...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. He was fantastic on Parks and Rec, though, as Andy. He was great. I love him. You didn't watch Parks and Rec.
I didn't watch a lot of that, but what I see on the interwebs of him in that role looks hilarious.
He was very good in that. Aubrey Plaza and him as a couple were pretty funny.
Oh, that's where she's from.
Yeah, she was Parks and Rec.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard the name.
Like Rashida Jones, who now is pitching everything out there.
Yeah.
I Parks and Rec.
Escape like Aubrey Plaza because it's In Touch or OK Style or whatever is always on the aggregate for Yahoo News. Like, this is not what I'm looking for, but whatever.
The movie that she's in where she like loses her job and she starts stealing things from stores. It's actually a pretty good movie. But Aubrey Plaza is pretty much the same as she was in Parks and Rec. Pretty much the same.
She's typecast as herself.
Very typecast in everything she's in.
It's like White Ryan Lotus. Reynolds is always Ryan Reynolds now.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's hard to separate.
But he's Deadpool. It's like he's Ryan Reynolds. Looking forward to Deadpool and Wolverine.
I'm so looking forward to that movie.
It's going to be really good. Really good. Oh, since we're being superhero nerds here for just a moment, did you see the picture of David Cornsweet as Superman?
I did Superman not see it.
Uniform,
I've heard of
costume.
It.
Lots of interesting reaction to what it looks like.
Like, he looks like a baby.
And it's got, like, the high collar on it.
Mm-hmm.
Where they did, the new 52, which is kind of like the reboot of all the classics.
It looks very much mock neck, turtleneck-ish.
Very much.
Like, it's got kind of loose cuffs on the...
And it's just a weird picture because he's sitting there and he's like pulling his boot on.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like his apartment.
And there's a disaster
it's
in
like
the background.
It's like the Star Killer. I forgot what the villain's called, but it's a computer that got mixed with a star that's this villain and it's blasting this ray at Metropolis.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of calmly pulling his boots on.
Right. It's like, I'm not in the phone booth, but. I got to get these boots on just right.
And I'm taking my time here.
Yeah.
Millions of people, thousands of people might be dying.
Find another planet when this one's done.
When I get there, I get there.
It's a kid that doesn't look like he's, you know, still living with the weight of a destroyed Krypton.
No. He looks like he's got to go let the dog out.
He looks like a Gen Zer having to go to work.
Yeah, it's like,
Mondays, am I right?
Oh, I hate adulting.
Yeah. I got to pay the bills somehow.
I mean, he looks good. He looks, but it's, I mean,
sure,
like I think the costume's okay, but it's like, there's this look of
apathy a little bit. It's a very apathetic Superman.
I don't know if it's supposed to be, he's supposed to be world worn.
But he needs to be older then, right?
Maybe he's seen a lot of crap in a short period of time. I don't know. We'll see what James Gunn has in store for us on that one. All right, hour two coming up next.